Bhagavad Gita is a book of mankind's collected experience of and answers to life's most basic questions. Who I am? From where do I come? What is my purpose and destiny? And most practically, how do I find happiness? These podcasts originate in the lectures of Neil Bhatt, a disciple of Swami Chinmayananda. They are presented here in 20 to 30 minute segments, each covering three of the Gita's 701 verses. Welcome to Gita Wisdom for Daily Living.
Okay, so I will be discussing the last four verses of chapter 14. The chapter 14, which is the Gunatraya Vibhaga Yoga, which we have discussed. And basically we have found so far that in this Prakriti, this manifest world, everything has these three gunas, which is the signature of Prakriti. That everything has sattva, rajas and tamas. That is sattva, the light, the knowledge, the awareness, the rajas, the activity, and tamas, inertia. These three gunas are binding the Supreme Self, which has no limitations to this limited being. These qualities belong to my body, mind, and intellect. Once the consciousness attaches to this, it takes upon itself all the limitations of Prakriti. So I, the ego, is right now conditioned by this body, mind, and intellect. Therefore, it has all the limitations of body, mind, and intellect. Therefore, it goes through the sorrows and happiness, pleasant experience and unpleasant experiences, conducive situation and unconducive situation. Because each entity by itself is its own priorities and its own situations. World remaining the world, one person sees it as very positive, the other sees it very negative, depending on their own conditioning. One who goes beyond these three gunas will be beyond all these conflicts and sorrows. So what we have seen in this is that these three gunas also belongs to my mind. It is my mind which is sometimes in a sattvic, rajasic or tamasic. Depending on the qualities of my mind, I'll see this world whether it is sattvic, rajasic or tamasic. My experiences will be driven by the moods of my mind. So if I can get over this, if I can introspect and can vigilantly monitor the moods of my mind, I will be able to go above the situations which I'm facing. You know, situation remaining the same, I can change the mood of my mind and that will change my reaction to the situation. But you see, the ultimate goal is the one who goes beyond three gunas all the time. So the verse we have seen last time, Udasina avadasina gunehi yona vichalyate. One who is indifferent to these gunas and does not get swirled by this guna. Guna vartanta iti eva avatasthati na ingate. What is happening in this world is nothing but play of the gunas. So gunas are the one which are acting in this world. Guna guneshu vartantaha iti matva na sajjate. Knowing that what that is happening is the gunas of my senses and the guna of this world of objects are reacting with each other. That's all it is. When I have an experience, that experience is between the gunas of my senses and my body and my mind and intellect with the gunas of that. So when I come across this conducive situation, I feel happy. Unconducive situation, I'm not happy. Knowing that the self that I am, do not get disturbed by it. This verse 23 says, Guna vartanta iti eva avatisthati na ingate. Knowing that these are all the play of the gunas only, and nothing to do with I, the self, he he does not move from his state of bliss. He is always in the state of bliss as the self. When we, as well as the example, when we hear what's happening in Tahrir Square in Egypt, does it really make me so upset that I couldn't sleep at night? No. I may have my opinion whether they're good or bad for the world or whatever it is, but that's all it is. I'm a third party observer. If I can do the same thing for everything happening to me in this Tahrir Square, then I will be the same way. That's all it's saying. So now Arjuna had asked three questions. One is, what are the marks of a person who has gone beyond the gunas? This is exactly similar to chapter 2 where he says, Thita Prajnasya Ka Bhasa. What are the qualities of a person whose buddhi is established into the wisdom? Same thing he says, how do I know that person has gone beyond gunas? Then he says, how does he move around, he talks in this world? And lastly, how did he do it? Tell me the secret. What are the marks? The one who is beyond gunas, knowing thus that this is the play of gunas only, he does not get disturbed. That's the mark of him. What will be his behavior? We have seen in the following verses. Sama dukkha swastha, samalosta ashmakanchanaha, tulya priya apriya dhiraha tulya nindya atmas sanstutihi. We have seen this in Bhagavad Gita before. The quality of a person whose buddhi is established in the Supreme Self and not in this limited self. When things occur in this life, I see that it's occurring with this ego reacting with the world outside, and therefore samadukha sukha, therefore with the condition is conducive or non-conducive, he remains the same. He sees that. We don't have a big riots, as I said, when winter comes, from spring we move to fall and then winter. We don't have riots in the streets outside. Why do we have this conditioning now? You know, we've accepted it. That's how the nature is. After the spring, fall has to come. And after the fall, the winter has to come. We adjust to it. In our life, we are not accepting that. We always want 100% happiness all the time. Therefore, we get all disturbed. He said, but a person who knows this, just like I know that the fall will come after spring and winter will come after fall, he knows that after every happy occasion, there is something which is unhappy, non-conducive. Those of you educated by the Indian TV knows this all the time, right? So, samadukha sukha swastaha. He remains swastaha, balanced, without affected by the sukha or dukha. Knowing this is a temporary occurring between the gunas of myself as the body, mind, intellect and the world. Economy is doing well, we are all very happy. Everybody talks about the party, nothing but how much money they made in the stock market. Then it tanked. Now we all talk about, I don't know what Obama is doing. Why does he think about me? That's how the nature of this world is. Samalosta ashmakanchanaha. He also sees no greater value in one thing of this world than the other. Now, does that mean that somebody asks for, you know, 1 rupee, he gives a $1,000 note? No. Transaction in this world is a transaction between I, the limited being, and them. That is where there is called a vyavahara. Their vyavahara should be appropriate to that. However, I don't see that as the one vyavahara is more important than the other. Swamiji gives an example that when you were a little kid, something, a card from whatever, you know, the game card, one was very valuable than the other. I grew up in India, so we used to have Parle's bottle top. So there was a value. Parle's one has a greater value than if you were socio or something else. Right? Anybody remember that? Okay. Now, in those days, can you imagine your wealth about those Parle's bottle tops or this socio and this thing somebody takes away from you? But when you grow out of it, all those bottle tops are bottle tops and they're worth nothing for me. You see, one who sees the world that way, It has its own value in that particular transaction at a particular time. Therefore, we say, well, you may have a styrofoam cup and somebody has a gold cup. And both are thirsty and going to a lake. Which one is more valuable than the other? Both are same. As long as there is an emptiness in which can fetch water for me, that's all it counts for. At that moment, the value of gold and value of styrofoam is exactly same, depending on which can fetch more water. So, sama loshta asma kanchanaha, he does not give greater value to one or the other, knowing that the value only belongs to the exchange or the utility in that particular transaction. Tulya priya apriyaha. Now there obviously we all can use. He remains same when something comes which is dear to me or not dear to me, because it is not in my hand. We struggle through in this economy, go through these interviews and proposals, and we come out and everybody says, well, Neil, you really did a fantastic presentation. I feel so good. Till I hear that my competition got the project. Tulya priya apriya. Things will come to you by its own nature. They are not depending on my situation. They're coming to me by its own nature. And I consider that as my right or my misfortune that is coming to me. Dhiraha tulya nindaha atma sanstutihi. You can really use it. Here means dhiraha tulya nindaha stutihi. As I said, boy, Neil, you did so good. When you don't win, say, I think you should have prepared a little better, Neil. I think this time you were not really, you should have prepared for the interview a little better. What happened? Suddenly, because my success now defines whether I was good or not. We were reading about Steve Jobs. He said he threw away all the rules of business, no focus groups, no surveys, everything. What do people know what they want? I will tell them what they want. So he worked completely contrary to other people's business model, taught in Harvard and everywhere else, and he's the most successful company. So now we are saying, well, let's look at the Steve Jobs model, how he made the company great. Tulya nindastutehe, you have to remain same, whether people are praising you or not praising you, simply because it is the nature of the world, not yours. And then the next verse we have seen says, mana apamanayoho tulyaha atulyo mitraha aripakshayoho. Continuing the same argument, Bhagavan says, such a person who has gone beyond guna, he is acting in this manner. That's how he acts. He is working in this world as a normal person, but in his mind, he sees all this is a temporary occurring, nothing that he controls. All his duty is to act according to dharma in each situation. Mana apamanyoho. This is obviously very, very important to us because we get hurt very easily. Mana and apamana is at our mental level. This is truly at our mind's level. Sometimes the person who is telling you has no intention of insulting you or hurting you, but you take it that way, because your mental climate was such that you receive it. If I'm supremely confident, people say, you're this not doing, don't worry about it. But I'm already shaky inside, and then somebody says, Neil, you're not doing, oh, is that so? Then I collapse right there. So it is not the world, but my mind decides whether this is mana or apmana. He is tulya. He is so established in himself that what comes from the world, he just takes that for its face value and moves on. Mitra aripakshayoho. This is another thing we divide our world. These are my friends and these are my enemies. My relationship may be different with each other, but my reaction to them should remain the same. That does not mean that our enemies are attacking your country and you say, well, same way we'll receive you as we receive our allies. That time your vyavahar is to protect your country, but just as Gandhi said, I hate the British government, but not the British people, or something like that. it's not the person you're hating, a person you're reacting to, but the action you're reacting to. Therefore, you have Tulya Mitra Aripaksha. Aripaksha, the foes, the enemies, Mitra, friend, we all know. Sarva Arambha Parityagi, we have seen it before, and this is the most difficult one. He gives up all endeavors, all efforts. Sarva Arambha Parityagi, first of all, this is complete death. If I stop doing everything, it's a complete death. Well, how can I be? I will stop all my endeavors and efforts when I die. Swamiji explained that's exactly what they're asking you to do. Kill your ego. Because all the efforts which I'm putting in this world right now are because of my desire-prompted plans. I want to do this, therefore I'm doing this. Well, let's start a new business. Why? I want to make more. Well, let's do this. So everything I'm doing so far is prompted by my own desires. If I now stop everything which I'm doing for my desires, but do everything because it needs to be done by my dharma, then I'll be beyond this. I'm not starting anything. However, I'm functioning fully efficiently in this world. Because I'm not driven by my desire, I'm driven by my dharma. As we have seen, my dharma, when I'm in my office as an architect, my architect's dharma. When I'm a Gita class, I'm a Gita class dharma. When every time, if I mix up these dharmas, then I have a problem. But what happens is, we mix up this dharma. You were going the wire, you're going, well, there may be some people, some networking opportunities for my business. People do a lot of this public service work. You know, you ask them, why do you do that? Networking. All these corporations promoting this. For what? Their own advertisement. When that happens, there will be disappointments, there will be joys and sorrows. But if you're truly doing the service for the sake of service, there is no disappointment, Bhagavan said. So therefore he said, Sarva Arambha Parityagi, prompted by his desires. Not his Sarva Arambha Parityagi for according to his dharma. Dharma dictates that you do what you need to do. Guna Atitaha Saha Uchyate. Such a person is called Guna Atitaha. Your equanimity is not broken when it's dukkha or sukha, mana apamana, priya priya, and then you're not starting anything because of your desires only. Then Bhagavan says, Guna Atita Saha Uchyate. Such a person is called Guna Atita. Last two verses say, how did he get to that point? Well, we think this is not possible. But Bhagavan said, there are many, many people who has gone beyond this guna in this world. Many, many examples in our Puranas and Kathas. How did they achieve that? Last two verses answer that question. Macha yoha avyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate. One who is worshipping me without having second. Avyabhichara. Vyabhichara in our normal day-to-day language. One who is unfaithful in his relationship. If I am unfaithful in my relationship to him, then it is a vyabhichara. So I'll say, well, Bhagavan, Sunday I'm okay with you. Monday through Friday, you don't come in between me. I'll do everything, what I need to do in my business. Lie, cheat, whatever I need to do. But that's business, right? Like in India, you go and say, well, I don't believe in bribe. Oh, no. Here you have to do it. It's okay. You don't do it in the USA, but India, it's okay. Oh, Vyabhichara. Once you are convinced that giving bribe is wrong, it is wrong here as well as in India. So it's the one who is worshipping. In other words, the one who has developed a relationship with me as his own self, as the only relationship which matters. Saha gunan samatitya etan brahma bhuyat kalpate. Such a person who is worshipping me. Worshipping, we have seen, is devotion. Devotion is love for the divine. Love is nothing but identification. That identification with the divine is so strong that no other identification I take as permanent. I do have identification with my body, my mind, my intellect, my relatives, my family, but I know these are all temporary. But my real relationship is with myself, which is imperishable. Sa gunan samatyate etan brahma bhoyat kalpate. Such a person goes beyond guna. What are the marks? How does he do it? He established just one simple relationship, that this is my only true relationship. Once you establish that, going beyond guna is easy. Once I found out the worthlessness of thing, then easy to get rid of it. Once the milk is over, means finished, in that plastic jug, how difficult it is to toss it into recycling bin. Not at all, right? Unless, as I said, if you come from India, you said, my mother came from India a long, long time ago. And we'll buy something, and then we'll want to throw the package. Our mother, no, beta. This is very, very nice package. We can use it or keep it. Don't throw away. Now, that happens in my house too, even not only my mother. So because in India, the packaging, I'm talking about 80s, the packages weren't really that good. And here, the packages are so nice, and so you don't want to throw away. But one who truly knows the value of the package is of no value. I took the content out. Throwing package is worthless. Or I have a TV which does not work in my house. How difficult it is to throw it away. Not at all, as long as I know it's worthless. Knowing that the worthlessness of this relationship I have in this world with people and my own self as this body, I know whether I like it or not, it is deteriorating every minute. And at some point, it will be so worthless that I would give it up. Saha gunan atitaha. Such a person goes beyond gunas. Brahma bhuyat sa kalpate. Such a person considered to become fit, to become Brahman. Having developed that relationship, he is now fit to become that. One who knows God becomes God. Once I know my true identity, all other identities are worthless. So, Brahmano hi pratishta aham amrutasya yasya cha sasvatasya cha dharmasya sukhasya ekantikasya cha. For, why that is? Well, Brahmanav the Bhagavan is saying, all that is true, that once I established myself in the devotion of my own self, the God, then I become fit to become Him. Bhagavan said, why? Because he said, because I am the abode of the Brahman. I, the self in me, that which I call I and you call you and she call her, is the abode of Brahman. Brahman resides in the consciousness, yours and mine. Once I develop relationship with my own consciousness is my true relationship, I become fit to become the consciousness of all. The Bhagavan says, Brahmano hi pratistha aham. I am the abode of the supreme Brahman. You know? Swamiji explains in three different ways, as Shankaracharya has explained. One is, as I said, myself is the abode of the Brahman, because it is nothing but Brahman. Or you can say that the Brahman I right now can only conceive as the conditioned Brahman only. Without conditioning, I can't imagine this room space. This room space, I can only imagine it because of the conditioning. You take the conditioning, the walls and floor and ceiling out, I can't imagine in my own mind this room space. As I said, my design teacher used to say, 1 + 1 = 3. Because now I can have positive space, positive and negative space in between. But I take 2 away, I can't imagine that negative space. Condition Brahman, which I am imagining right now as God, is residing in I, the unconditioned Brahman. So, Bhagavan said, Svasvatasya cha dharmasya sukhasya ekantikasya cha. Because the nature of that is immortal. Svasvatasya cha dharmasya. Its very nature is immortality. And that immortality is what I'm looking for. I don't want to die. I don't want happiness. So, saswata tasya cha dharmasya. Its dharma is to be immortal, imperishable. And I am that abode. Once you are become me, you will be immortal. Sukhasya ekantikasya. The only happiness which I am looking for is eternal happiness. I don't want to be unhappy Monday through Friday to be happy on weekends. Or other way around. As long as I'm happy Monday through Friday, you can be hell at home on weekend, I'm fine. No, I want happiness Monday through next Monday. Sukhasya ekantikasya, that continuous eternal happiness. Bhagavan says it is my very nature, as the self. I'm immortal and a complete bliss. First we said, what are the marks? We saw the marks. How does he act in this world? How did he get there? And then Bhagavan said, there is no difference between I and him once you go beyond gunas. That's where we end chapter 14.
Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhina, Sarve Santu Niramayaha, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Ma Kaschid Dukkha Bhag Bhavet. Om Shantihi, Shantihi, Shantihi. Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.